swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, off we go tonight here. So much fun the last show. And again, we remind you we're 7 to 8 Central Time every Wednesday and Thursday now. It's Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Behind the glass, as always, producer Guillermo. I'm Glenn Davis, your humble servant. Call-in number tonight, as always, as we go live, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, streaming at ESPN975.com. Last week, we got a lot of your great calls. We appreciated it. And the question I posed was the first ever soccer match you attended and the impact it had on you. And we got crazy good calls. We had military people calling about seeing games in the J League. We had Italian Serie A. We had Bundesliga. We had La Liga. We had all the way back to the Houston Hurricanes here in Houston and the Astrodome. Then we had the Houston Dynamos in the 80s. We had the Houston Hotshots indoor. Of course, we had the current Dynamo in their opening game against Colorado that they smacked. So we want to extend that tonight. So if you have and you want to do testimony on the first ever game that you went to, how it impacted you, please give us a call at 713-780-3776. We got a lot of differing news here tonight, but let's get you caught right up to date here with what occurred here today. African Cup of Nations, Morocco versus Tanzania.
Kings Kangwa for Zambia. Keepers off his line! Opportunistic play, and Kings Kangwa has put Zambia ahead.
Okay, that was Zambia in a 1-1 draw with the Congo. Here's the equalizer from Yohan Visa, who scores the second final goal of the game. This is in the 27th minute. Now, overall, Congo dominated this game, but would end a draw. Here's Visa's goal and how it sounded.
As we've got a goal here, how's that for a stat? I mean, this promises to be a really good AFCON. Bakambu, I think he's onside. Cedric Bakambu! Wissa!
African Cup of Nations, it's a wild ride. By the way, Morocco, as I mentioned earlier, against Tanzania, Youssef and Nesri scoring in the 80th minute. This caps three goals on the day for Morocco.
Unahi, the scorer. Atrafa came in, Nesri!
So Morocco, who got to the semifinals of the World Cup in Qatar, well, they are one of the favorites. It is African Cup of Nations, and tomorrow you'll get Equatorial Guinea against Guinea-Bissau. You will get Ivory Coast. That's a good one. The host nation, Cote d'Ivoire, against Nigeria, the Super Eagles. That is a can't-miss game tomorrow at 11 a.m., and then Egypt and Ghana. So you got a lot of the heavyweights in action tomorrow. It's a great triple header. All right, Spanish Super Cup this weekend. Vinicius Jr. with a hat-trick in the first half. Real Madrid destroys Barcelona.
Rodrigo, Vinicius waiting. 2-0.
I mean, that's awful,
just too easy. Just too easy. Barcelona paying a heavy price for some, well, crazy defending, leaving so much space in behind.
10 minutes in, you're down 2-0 to Real Madrid. That game in Saudi Arabia, the Spanish Super Cup. We'll go a little bit more in depth on that one and what that actually means. And then also today, the Dynamo addressing the media. Here is the general manager, Pat Onstad, on this year's mentality.
To say we're a supporter shield team, I think we're still a few pieces away from that. But I do think this is a playoff team, and I think the guys come in with those that expectation. But at the same token, we're going to have a target on our back, and we've got to get back to work, and we've got to get better. If we stay the same in our league, we'll get bypassed. So we've got to get better at what we're doing.
Now we're going to talk some Dynamo here tonight about off-season moves, maybe the lack thereof that has fans maybe a little bit nervous here, but I have some theories on this and how the Dynamo were going to approach this season. But I think no question there. You heard Pat Onstad talking about the fact that this will be a season that, again, has to platform. And we know what that one area is that needs to platform. We'll talk more about that. Here's Ben Olsen on the team's excitement for the upcoming season here in 2024.
A lot of optimism, a lot of energy. Again, nice to see everybody and get outside, too. A fun day. Guys came in fit and excited about a new year. I know the expectations have now kind of changed here a little bit, and in a lot of ways that's what we signed up for. But kind of the goals and the standard is very similar to what we started with this year or last year. You know, we want to be in the postseason and we want to compete for trophies. But we know this is a very different year with different opportunities, optimism, and looking forward to getting to know some of the new guys and pushing this club even further than we did last year.
All right, 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. Are you watching the African Cup of Nations? Because it's some scintillating football. It's some incredible matchups. It's some really, really interesting environments. And like I mentioned, tomorrow you got a lot of the heavyweights in action with Equatorial Guinea hosting Guinea-Bissau. Then you've got Ivory Coast, Nigeria. You got Egypt, Ghana. You got some superstars on some of these teams. Guillermo, to your thought, African Cup of Nations, is it something out of sight, out of mind to you, or is it something that you find interesting? Because it's very differing, I think, to a lot of the competitions we see. Of course, we've got the CONMEBOL Copa America this summer, but African Cup of Nations, are you interested in it?
I can't lie. Personally, I'm not an avid watcher of the AFCON, but last show you worded it beautifully that these competitions are like World Cups between these continents. And that's really what it is. You know, these countries, you know, they fight for this cup that they have to fight against, you know, their fellow countrymen and stuff. So watching, you know, the CONCACAF Gold Cup is, you know, the equivalent. So I have utmost respect for every single one of those cups.
I think there will be a lot of Super Eagles fans because we have a lot of Nigerians in Houston that add a lot to our soccer community. I do believe the Nigerian fans are going to be very much interested in this Ivory Coast game tomorrow. That's in Abidjan. Nigeria got off to a slow start in their first match. So Super Eagles fans always have very, very high expectations. I don't think there's any question about that. Again, I mentioned that you had stories about the first ever soccer match you went to on last show, and we had a lot of people we unfortunately had to leave online that did not get to express it. So if you want to express it tonight, first soccer match you ever went to, how impactful was it, where was it, who were the teams, what you remember most about it, we'd love to hear from you. 713-780-3776 ESPN. And incidentally, these are moments, these games that you go to. They become stories. They become indelibly etched in your mind, in your life. And this is how you capture a lot of young people to the game. And not just young people. I remember my father when he started going to the Cosmos. He didn't grow up playing soccer. He was a baseball player in college and, you know, traditional sports. He was a military guy at 18 in the Marines. He fell in love with soccer. He absolutely fell in love with the game. He'd go to games even when I wasn't there. Came to all my youth games, or quite a few of them, not all of them, I would say. But he went to a lot of New York Cosmos games. And the youth club that I was a part of, we had a wonderful coach. His name was Tom McDonald. Lit a fire under us all. But he had us going to all the Cosmos games. And, you know, this is East Rutherford, New Jersey. Yeah, probably about 20, 25 minutes by car. So we're close. We're watching Beckenbauer. We're watching Pelé. We're watching Mourinho. We're watching Andronic Escuderian. You got Shep Messing there. Hubert Birkenmeyer. Giorgio Chinaglia. I mean, the names just off the charts. But not only did it engage the young kids, it engaged their parents. And the addition of the Cosmos and that bringing us together also and parents together really shows you how important really the live game is. And I've said this over the years here in Houston. Now, granted, the product is much, much better now under Pat Onstad and everybody. And it's a real fun watch now. There's a lot of things you can look for, you can find, you can discover, you can explore when you watch the Dynamo now. But I will tell you this. Pushing youth players to live soccer, whether it's going to be the Copa America coming, Mexican League games that come through here, Guatemala, El Salvador, to put that in that environment, it's worth 10 training sessions. Okay? Let me just put it at that. It's worth 10 training sessions. Let's go to the phone lines and Hector. Hector, what do you have tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm?
How's it going, Glenn?
Very good, Hector.
It's Hector from Inter Name FC. My first live soccer match was actually in Houston in Reliance Stadium. It was my first USA versus Mexico game. I was only 10 years old. And I think like the best part was just me and my dad. It was definitely like, and the experience of rivalry for my first match was definitely unforgettable moment. Plus, I got to watch Kobe Jones, and he's like my idol.
I've worked with Kobe a lot. Great guy, too. Not only a great idol and a great player, but a great person. By the way, was that the first ever game at Energy between Mexico and the U.S.?
Would that
have been around 2001, I think?
It was.
Yeah, so you were at the first ever game. I was behind the goal with Marcelo Balboa and our producer, Daryl Ewalt of HDNet. But, yeah, that was a big night. It ended in a draw. I remember Bobby Convey coming on late in the game. But that's a great one. That's one you carry the rest of your life. You started it off with a U.S.-Mexico rivalry game. Doesn't get much better than that.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, Hector, thank you so much for weighing in tonight. We appreciate it. 713.
Always.
713-780-3776. But you never know what becomes out of these games. I mean, and events and how it affects a young person. But it definitely can open the door to a lifetime of enjoyment with the greatest game on the planet. This is going to be repeated again, Copa America this summer in Houston. And then we've got the Gold Cup, and then ultimately the biggest sporting event, the World Cup in 2026. We're going to always talk about these events on this show. It's kind of quiet out there till we get to Soccer Matters each and every week when it comes to this amazing content we have coming here. Sometimes they don't know if people have the full grasp of what's going on. And by the way, the U.S. has got to go deep in this Copa America. This is a trial test, home field advantage. You're in the United States. This is another massive opportunity for the U.S. men's national team to produce. And having the Copa America here, having the World Cup in 2026 in the United States, it's a huge advantage to be the host nation. I know there are people out there going, oh, maybe it's not too much pressure. Christian Pulisic, by the way, came out and made it very, very clear. The U.S. is in the Copa America to win it. And I love that. That's captain speak. That's a guy who's leading the team. And by the way, Pulisic was voted the player of the month in Italy at AC Milan. Has stated very, very clearly, U.S. men's national team. He said, quote, of course, the goal is to win the Copa America. And again, we're hosting matches at Energy. We've got three dates during this Copa America. And the U.S. needs this competition. That's why there's going to be such an intense focus on it. It's not the game in San Antonio this weekend, which, by the way, is a good thing for young players. But this against real competition, South American teams in the U.S., it's a great test run for World Cup 2026. How much does home soil factor into this? I think it factors in a lot. U.S. needs to go deep in this edition of the Copa America. I don't think there's any question. So our future here in Houston, with Copa America coming, with everybody over at Lone Star Sports, followed by Gold Cup in 2025, and then the best-kept secret in Houston, the World Cup in 2026, all three of these events we host in Houston. Houston's a huge soccer city. Don't ever forget this. Has been for some time. We need to prop up our history more. We need to tell the story of the amount of those in this market from all over the globe that are touched by the game. All right, quick word here. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get in there, go in there and see David. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, also the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You want the best firm behind you. You see the Daspit Law Firm out there everywhere. We're proud because we had him on this show before everybody else had him, but we're proud to see John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. You need the personal injury attorney. That's the firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. We'll come back. We got more to come.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Eventually, they tend to impose themselves. And here is Kevin De Bruyne, who has passed it in with sublime skill. There's no one quite like him. The Belgian has bounced off the bench. And as bright as a button, as if he'd never been away, strokes in his equaliser.
As bright as a button. This has got people shaking in their boots. KDB's back. Kevin De Bruyne comes off the bench against Newcastle, down 2-1. Produces an assist, produces a goal, and back is just an incredible guy to watch play the game. So effortless, so prioritizing the sport. It doesn't seem to be out the clothes and the gear and showing off the trappings of being a high-level soccer player. This guy is player and player through and through, and that's, I think, what we love about Kevin De Bruyne and that type of an athlete. I would say we have the same thing with the Houston Texans quarterback, C.J. Stroud. It's about the game. It's a focus on the game. Mature beyond his years. De Bruyne is 32 years of age now. It's a little bit different. But got in behind the midfield in Newcastle, which is a no-no when he's out there. But you got to say now, is Manchester City now the team that you believe is in the pole position now to win the title with him coming back? He's been out since August. So it's great to see talented players like that making their way back into it. By the way, we were talking about Christian Pulisic before we went to break. A couple of notes on Christian Pulisic. Serie A player of the month. This continues to validate his move to the Serie A. And I know there's somebody out there right now going, oh, you know, the Serie A, it's not the Premier League. There's a lot of leagues that aren't the Premier League. He was successful in the Premier League till he ran into Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea, who was more injury-prone. Seems to be handling that side of it better. But I think this is a great league for him. I think it's a perfect league for him to showcase his talents. He's playing on AC Milan. Ridiculous history. But it's so interesting how people nowadays want to condition the success of somebody who's playing in one of the best soccer leagues in the world. By the way, we will have Brian Shiretta on from American Soccer Now. We're going to do some updating on players that are overseas that are Americans. But certainly certain players fit better in certain leagues. I could see Christian Pulisic thriving in La Liga. Technical, quick, explosive. And that's before we even get into the type of role they play on the team, the game model of the team, the confidence of a manager in you. I mean, that is so important right there, a relationship with a manager. That's going to be an interesting one to watch with the Houston Dynamo. And Ben Olsen and Sebas Ferreira when he comes back. Or he is back. And we'll talk a little bit here, hopefully before the end of this segment, a little bit more about the Dynamo. And we'll definitely do some more of that talk tomorrow. By the way, we have Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona tomorrow night on the show from TV3 to give us the real feel of what's going on with Barcelona. no matter what, we all know. And again, whatever you want to say about it, when you get thrashed, and you're either Real Madrid or Barcelona, when you get thrashed by the other, it's not good. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter that you have financial problems. People take this personally, and their moods are affected by it. Just like we've seen the mood of an entire city lifted by the Houston Texans, right? And one day, it's going to be like that with the Houston Dynamo. If we can climb back and get up to the point where, you know, exponentially it's reaching more people in the city. 713-780-3776. If you got something to be, something you want to say on the show, 713-780-3776. Human beings need confidence, and they need to be given confidence. You can derive it yourself, but you also need to get it from other people at times. Some people need more of it than others. It's like players. Some players need more of a confidence boost than others. Some need to be massaged. Others don't need a lot of that. I played with teammates that were both of those types of players. All right. So it's pretty incredible. Inter Miami now is going to go on a tour. 23,000 miles in 3 weeks. How about that? So I just came from Little Patagonia Empanadas, talking to my buddy over there. Got a nice espresso before coming here. And he's going to the game in Dallas on Monday. So here's the schedule for Inter Miami, Lionel Messi and company. 23,000 air miles in 3 weeks. They're going to El Salvador to play a game in El Salvador Friday. Then they go to Hong Kong. Then they go to Dallas on Monday. So they'll come back. Then they go to the Middle East, Al Hilal on January 29th. And then February 1st, they play Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia. February 4th, they go to Hong Kong. And then after that, they go in Hong Kong, they play the Hong Kong All-Stars. And in Japan, they play Vissel Kobe. February 15th, they will be in Miami, and they'll play Newell's Old Boys, which was Lionel Messi's youth club. The contracts with these countries and teams require that the stars play. How much, I don't know. Inter Miami owner Jorge Mas came out. He said they want to bring in $200 million in revenue this year. Last year they pulled in $120 million. This year they want $200 million. All right, let's hit a phone call. We've got George on the line. George, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. A couple things. One, when you asked if De Bruyne coming back puts Man City in the pole position, I think they're kind of always in that pole position. I feel like there was some parity while he and Holland were out. But right now, I feel like they're head and shoulders above everybody else, and that's what their normal stance is. I wanted to talk about the talk of Anthony Robinson maybe transferring to Liverpool.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, you were talking about Pulisic in Serie A. I'm a big Serie A fan. I've loved watching him, watching McKennie and Weah. But I feel like Anthony Robinson going to Liverpool is just, it would be huge. Liverpool is one of those teams that definitely can give Man City headaches. And you know how, like, when you play with a better team, like you kind of raise your abilities. I could really see that. I mean, I love the way that Klopp coaches, and I could see where his game could really improve, and he could, you know, kind of turn a corner on where he's at now. I mean, I would love to see it, although I wonder, do you think that's even feasible? Do you think that would actually kill his playing time, whereas, you know, now he's a solid starter? I mean, what do you think?
Well, he's going to be behind Andrew Robertson, right? I mean, look, we remember at one point when Liverpool had that great run. They had the two best outside backs and the best wide game in the league coming from those deeper positions. Now you see that Trent Alexander-Arnold has moved kind of more into a midfield role. So where does Anthony Robinson fit in? I mean, he's got to be in the left back position, I'm pretty sure. But this one I don't know a whole lot about, to be honest with you. I must have missed this. By the way, if there's Liverpool fan out there that can let us know and give us an update, 713-780-3776. We will ask Brian Ciaretta, who's up on everything overseas. We'll ask him about Anthony Robinson and a potential move to Liverpool. There's obviously pros and cons to it, but I think playing time is essential. Could be, you know, financially a boon for him. It's a whole different type of pressure and competition internally at that club. So it would be something really to keep an eye on. So we will definitely check that out. So thank you for calling in, George. We appreciate it. By the way, Jordan Henderson, who used to play at Liverpool, 33 years of age. Remember he went to Saudi Arabia? Well, controversially, he's left. Karim Benzema is not happy over there. You're finding more and more players. This whole Saudi thing, you get paid a lot, but I think for some culturally, it's a little bit difficult. Now they're saying Henderson may go to Ajax. He's close to an agreement there. That was reported by David Ornstein of The Athletic. By the way, Ajax, who was having a nightmare, I think is now in their last seven games have not lost. So we'll see what's going on there. Now back to Inter Miami. They also picked up Julian Gressel, as you know, right? So Julian Gressel said this on his decision to go to Inter Miami, right? Who doesn't want to be a player, by the way, on Inter Miami right now? You're playing with Messi, Busquets, Alba. You're traveling the world. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for people. You happen to be in the right place at the right time. You made the roster, and now you're a big part of this thing. I mean, it's historic. It's remarkable. It would have been the same thing if you were on the New York Cosmos as a young American player. And I'm not saying it wasn't earned. But guys like Rick Davis, Jeff Durgan, Shep Messing, these guys had experiences that very few soccer players in the United States at that time, well, for sure at that time, but even to be around that amazing star sort of slash celebrity with Pelé and Beckenbauer and Giorgio Chiellini, it's pretty crazy. Here's Julian Gressel, who, by the way, went to Columbus, helped them win an MLS Cup there, right? Remember the changes Columbus made in the summer months? Gressel came, and so did Diego Rossi from Turkey. Okay, so that's after Lucas Zelarayan left. So basically, Gressel says this. It's intriguing, right? This is about him going to Inter Miami. In terms of who are your teammates and what the club is trying to do, not only here in this market, but within MLS to try to push the boundaries. That's why I said, okay, he's saying basically what a lot of us are saying. We love seeing the – keep buying the stars. Take the road show out there. Keep it going in MLS. Bring eyeballs. And by the way, if you want to talk to me about their roster build and the guys are too old, that's great. That's Inter Miami's problem. That's Tata Martino's problem. That's not our problem. This is good from the aesthetics, from the eyeballs, from the entertainment value of Major League Soccer. He goes on to say, that's what I'm trying to do myself. I want to win. I have a really good chance to win here and win four trophies. Obviously have some other options. I had some other options. Ultimately, I think it was just the appeal of, well, of kind of Miami and what the club is trying to do in the vision, even beyond this year. That kind of I was excited about. And don't forget, Julian probably doesn't mind playing with Lionel Messi, right, and all these guys. Okay, so Houston Dynamo. Let's talk a little bit about their situation because today Pat Onstad said there's really nothing on the forefront as far as any big player signings. I think we all know the area that we want to see improved right now, and that's obviously in the front positions. Cook, off to FC Cincinnati is Corey Baird, so he's not around. So this is something to dial down on. So no impending moves that are big, according to Pat Onstad. You got young attackers that are going to be responsible for your goal scoring. Last year scored 51 goals, tied for fourth in the West. Sounds impressive. I don't think they scored enough goals in the playoffs. I think too many games were tight. There were some games where they scored a boatload of goals. But I do think we all know that the front four taking chances, That has to improve this year. Defensively is what the team was built on last year. Defensively in a possession game. Only conceded 38 goals. This is a tough team to break down. Third best in the West. And number one reason why it was tough to break down? Because they had the ball a lot. And if you don't have the ball, it's as simple as that. But they were built on defending. Wonderful job done by the organization, the staff. You're betting on the emergence now of Nelson Quiñones out wide and maturity. You're betting on Aliyu Ibrahim, if you look at the current roster. Sebas Ferreira. We'll see where that goes. More open play goals from Amin Bassi. What happens with Coco? Now it's looking like it's a summer. Does the UVA draft choice maybe come through and produce something as a Generation Adidas signing? Stefan Gyamfi. Do the Dynamo sign Usman Sila? The Clemson kid? But these are all either unproven guys at the professional level or guys that don't have a history of scoring a lot of goals outside of Ferreira, who had 13 2 years ago. Yes, I know Amin Bassi had a lot of goals, but a lot of penalties. So it's a challenge. And listen, the Dynamo may be saying, you know what? We're going to go out the first half of the season because you can do this in MLS. We'll go through the first half of the season with what we have right now, and we'll look to make moves basically in the summertime. And we'll give guys half a season to see if we can raise them from the standpoint of producing more goals and end product. But your top guy was Corey Baird. He's off to FC Cincinnati. Something to think about. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We come back. We have Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer. Now we're going to talk some Americans in Europe, including we'll bring up that Anthony Robinson. I don't know if that's a rumor or if that's something that's actually happening that George brought to the show. Show's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You want the best in the business. You get in an accident. It's an uncomfortable time. You need the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. Don't forget our great friends, Jan Christensen over at Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Let's take a break. More to come.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, this is Elvis Costello, Pump It Up. He's playing tonight at the House of Blues. I may even shoot down after this. Charlie Sexton, the great guitar player. He's got a lot of Texas connection. Fantastic guitar player. He's down there as well. You know what? That may be the ticket here. Elvis Costello can still draw. And my friends at Cactus Music will be glad I'm talking about a little music here. All right, let's go to our next guest, Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. He's brought to you by LamontBrands.com. Lamont Brands, where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. You get them there. The proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation to fight pediatric cancer. Brian, how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. Thanks very much for having me on.
I know. I was up in New Jersey. I got out of there before the snow. I guess you've been shoveling some snow lately, huh?
Salting driveways, driving through ice. Yeah, it's been it's been the real deal, and it's supposed to stay in the 20s for at least another week. So it's a real winter.
And we get crazy down here with temperatures in the 20 without any snow. It's just the way it goes. All right, so listen, we had a caller, George, a little while ago, and George mentioned that there's some potential interest from Liverpool to Anthony Robinson, the U.S. men's national team left back. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, certainly. That was they talked about that in December, and I definitely think that there's some kind of merit to that because Anthony's become an upper-level Premier League quality left back, and particularly he's had some of his stronger games against Liverpool, so he's done it right in their face, you know, over a couple of years now. And Look, you know, I think tomorrow we're going to see Christian Pulisic win the male player of the year. But even before the that's just because Anthony Robinson was not even nominated. Before he was even nominated, I thought he was the best American player in the game for 2023. He was that good. So he's definitely going places. But at the same point, if he sticks with Fulham, not a bad option either.
Yeah, by the way, in the World Cup, he was outstanding till he ran out of gas. He was a horse that was rode a little bit too hard, like a number of players, I think, in that World Cup. And to your mention, if he remains at Fulham, you know, the only concern is if you go to Liverpool, you got Andrew Robertson as a left back, who's one of the best in the Premier League as well. So that's one worry. All right, so let me take you into a couple of guys here. I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk about. So you did an article, American Soccer Now, Griffin Yao, who plays at Vesterloo. Mm-hmm. He was a homegrown player at DC. I remember when he was there. Tell us a little bit about him. What's going on with him? I know he scored a few goals lately.
Yeah, he's gone over to Belgium. He left with DC United and not in a great spot. He was struggling to fit under Hernan Lozada, the previous coach, and wasn't really doing well under the DC United when it was under its previous regime. And now, and since he's moved over there, he was great in preseason. He was injured to start the season. Then when he came back, he was terrific. You know, he has three goals and two assists, I think, in about 700 minutes, which is a very good ratio. But he looks the part. And, you know, I think he's a guy that could make a late push to be on this Olympic team, this U.S. U-23 Olympic team. I know that's what he really wants. And it's certainly within his wheelhouse if he can continue to play well. And then if he's on the Olympics, you know, you just go from there.
Is that based on current form right now and the hope that people are really diving down on him and watching him?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, any kind of youth team, and that still includes the Olympic team, is based, you know, current form is very, very important to the whole thing, because this is not like a national team that's together over the course of a year, over years. This is a quickly put together team, and I think, you know, your current form heading in there is obviously very important. So he's trending up, which I think is to his advantage. He hasn't been with the team yet, but, you know, I think he's got a real shot.
Cameron Carter-Vickers has appeared 110 times for Celtic in the Scottish Premier League, getting apparently some interest from West Ham, Nottingham Forest, and Brentford. Take us into that a little bit and where you see him in the hierarchy of center backs on the U.S. men's national team.
Look, I think the center back hierarchy with the national team has been kind of stagnant. It's been the same group of players, about seven players, for a matter of years now, and we're getting into a position where a couple guys are aging out now of the pool, and then the youth national teams haven't really put anybody decent into that pool. So it's been kind of stagnant, but he's been doing well. It's just tough to read the Scottish Premier League because outside of the Old Firm, that league is pretty low, and they get trounced in Europe. And I think he needs to get I think he's probably bored, and he probably needs a different challenge there at Celtic. Beyond Celtic, and I think that would be the Premier League because he's done enough of the championship before he got to Scotland. Nottingham Forest has their own issues right now with the restrictions and the violations that they could be facing. So, you know, I think, you know, Brentford might be it. You know, they play like a run-and-gun kind of an offense and athleticism. That might make sense. And, you know, and West Ham maybe less so than them, but we'll see. I think, you know, it's going to be the Premier League or bust, I think, for Carter Vickers in terms of where he goes.
So let's say he goes to the Premier League, but he doesn't play a lot. And
he's been there.
And he could, he could, you know, just make a push and stay in the Scottish Premier League and say, hey, my chances of making it to the World Cup in 2 years is good. It's a long time to wait for that and not think about your career and not take some risk, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been to a World Cup, you know, and I think, and I don't think the center back pool is even changing. I mean, regardless of where some of these players, as long as they're playing, look, I think Miles Robinson didn't even really hurt his national team chances just because I don't see the competition there in that center back pairing, in that center back pool. But, you know, I think for his own interest, you know, it's just, it's the same thing over and over again. I don't think playing Livingston and St. Mirren is going to get into where he wants to be. But at that point, I mean, you know, you're going to know where you stand if someone pays a transfer fee for you. He does not want to go to a Premier League team where he doesn't play. He's been there and done that with Tottenham. I mean, that was the reason why he went on six different loans to the Championship. He doesn't want to revisit that. But the question is, he has to ask himself, is he better now? Is he the kind of guy who can get on the inside? You know, yes, it's not as good as Tottenham. But, yeah, I think he could play at a team like Brentford. It might take a little bit of a push, but at some point he has to take a challenge and go for it. I mean, if he just stays at Celtic the rest of his career, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that does for him and his horizons.
Agree with you. All right, we're talking to Brian Charette, American Soccer Now. Serginho Dest currently at PSV, 12 points clear at the top of the Dutch Eredivisie. Dest doesn't seem inclined to a return to Barcelona. In fact, he said it was going to be very difficult for him to go back to Barcelona with Xavi in charge. Thoughts on Serginho Dest?
I mean, this has been a great reset for him to go back to the Eredivisie and just crush it. You know, he had a terrible loan to AC Milan. But he's gone back there. He's played with a purpose. And it's not just in the Eredivisie where they're perfect. After I think it's 17 games, like they're cruising in the cup. They're into the knockout rounds of the Champions League. Everything is going their way. You know, and credit to Ernie Stewart there. You know, at PSV, a lot of every move that they have has gone right. Yeah, I think he will make a move, but he's not going to go back to Barcelona. He's going to be able to have enough offers now. If he's going to get sold, I think PSV will exercise the option to buy on Serginho Dest. Maybe kick him around another year, maybe through the winter next year. But eventually he's going to be gone, and they'll sell him to, you know, another team that really, really wants him. You know, he can this time, you know, he's played for some of the biggest clubs in the world. Now he could just kind of take the chance. He's been there and done that. Now he could go to a team after PSV that makes sense. But it will still be a very big club because he's a Champions League caliber fullback.
Another guy who had a very, very good World Cup, but I don't think he wants to stay in the Eredivisie for another 2 years prior to a World Cup, right? All right, Tyler Adams, what's the deal on him injury-wise? I know, is he a father now, or he's about to become a father? Another guy who had a great World Cup, another guy that got rode very hard in the World Cup in the group stages. Where is he with injury right now?
Yeah, I mean, the last I heard of, things were still probably on track for, it sounded like a March return to the field, but, you know, that's always touch and go. You know, I'm not giving them, you know, the clubs are usually wary about releasing too much specifics about, you know, medical data. But, you know, I think that sounds about right. And unfortunately, it's going to be almost a year since he really played a league game if he gets back around then. So, you know, what kind of player we're looking at by the time he gets back, you know, and how much rust there is, who knows, you know, he makes him such a wild card for the, Copa America, because you want to be able to pencil him in as a starter and being as good as he normally is, because he's a very steady player and one the U.S. team doesn't really have an adequate backup for yet. But that being said, you know, is he going to be there? You know, I don't know, and I'd still be very surprised if he's back playing regularly or in the starting lineup for the Nations League semifinals and final. I can't bring myself to seeing that yet.
All right, so Brian, we got this situation with Jadon Sancho going back to Dortmund. Gio Reyna now, they're saying he's going to be moved. Had 2 minutes off the bench against Darmstadt. His star not shining as brightly right now.
No, you know, he's had some moments where he certainly played well and certainly been decent, but it's been so few and far between, and none of the minutes he's been given, you know, at least any time recently, have been really important. It's just been kind of some mop up minutes here and there, and it's unfortunately it's been tough for him. And you know, the minutes just haven't really been there throughout his entire career yet. You know, he hasn't had a 2,000 minute season. It's unfortunate. So, you know, the talent's there, but eventually he has to get to a point when he can show it on a regular basis, because that's what good players do. It's not a part time sport. I think he will be moved, and then he's just really got to put his head down and work hard and just prove his worth wherever he goes.
Austin Trusty, former Philadelphia Union, Rapids Arsenal signs him, loans him to Birmingham, plays there 44 times. He's at Sheffield United right now in the Premier League. Speaking of U.S. men's national team center backs and potential center backs, where do you see him right now?
It's tough to say. I mean, yes, he's playing in the Premier League. Do I see him as a Premier League caliber center back? I don't really see anybody on Sheffield United as Premier League quality. I think if I was to guess, I would say he's going to be going down with the ship this year and kind of go back to the Championship, where he had a lot of success for a mid to bottom half.
No, but I mean, how do you think he's playing right now? I know he's not on a good team. I get that. But how do you think he's playing on Sheffield United? And is it experience gathered that could potentially help him with the national team?
Look, being in the Premier League does put you in the national team radar. I think there's plenty of others ahead of him. I think he's still remaining on the bubble. I think it still comes down to other guys like him and Mark McKenzie.
Chris Richards.
And when Walker Zimmerman gets back. You know, so I think he's helped his case there this year. He's playing okay. But still, it's tough to say when a team's just overmatched game in, game out like that with their goal differential on the season.
How about Chris Richards?
Well, he's another guy playing midfield right now. You know, up and down, he has some really good games, some tough games. It's good to know that he plays there. But like Greg Berhalter said, he sees him as a center back, first and foremost. And, you know, and I think he's a high ceiling kind of guy, but eventually, he needs to put himself in a position where he's going to play that position regularly. I don't know how Crystal Palace sees him. Maybe they have to get a midfielder in to replace him, then to move him back to the center back, or then they sell him to a team that wants him as a center back. He doesn't have quite the skill set to be in the midfield at the highest levels, but he's still high ceiling. But he's just been a frustrating career in the fact of, you know, being like a regular starter. He had a little bit at Hoffenheim, but being able to shine in the position where he's at his best, you know, injuries have kind of set him back at times. But he's still a work in progress. I still like him. He's still going to be on the national team. But definitely, you know, it's a weird situation with him, with the position he's playing.
Weston McKennie seems to be living up to it consistently, along with Christian Pulisic and Sergiño Dest. These guys seem to be playing very consistently as a group. Maybe a little on Weston and Juventus.
Fantastic season. Surpassed my expectations. I thought last year when they sent him to Leeds, they didn't ever expect to see him back again. I thought it was a way to get him out there. But when Leeds got relegated, the option to buy his loan was waived off. They sent him back to Juventus. Juventus wasn't expecting it. I thought they were going to ship him off last summer. They kept him, and he's been terrific. Like, you know, the best soccer of his career right now. Maybe not as much with the goals and assists, but he's just doing, you know, well, he's got, I should check the backs, not with the goals, but with the assists, definitely they're there. And he's doing so much on both sides of the ball. This is the best Juventus has played since he's been there. Just a wow kind of a season for that, and you're right. You know, whatever position they put him, but he so signs, whether it's wing back or in his central midfield role, he does great. And it's just a great understanding of the game he has. He's so versatile. You know, he's definitely one of the big stars right now for the U.S. team and Americans want to play anywhere.
He's a gamer, Brian. Brian, we're up on a hard finish here tonight. Thank you very much. Great job, as always.
Thanks very much.
We really appreciate it. That's Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now, for Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget, show's presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, DaspitLaw.com. We'll see you again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.